I got a theme developing here, Craig.
As you Excellent.
You know, I get the word that Dwayne Wade is going home to Chicago.
Yeah.
Play for the Bulls.
The Bulls.
Today is the running of the Bulls in the annual festival in San Fermin in Spain. 2009, last time someone was gored to death. Last time someone was trampled to death was back in 2000. I'm just reading 2003.
This is terrible.
Now, why people do that, I don't
know. What about the Bulls?
Well, a lot of them end
up Shouldn't we look at the Bulls' point of view?
They have trouble running on these cobblestone streets and narrow streets, and a lot of them at the end are slaughtered anyway.
This is terrible, isn't it? Isn't this terrible news for the Bulls?
Sure. Maybe this is turning sour. I wanted to kind of combine things because Andy Bullbarge, the nicest bull you'll ever meet, is joining us this morning. He's here this morning to talk about the Crushers as we catch up with Andy. Good morning, Andy. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Great. Sitting through all of this just to get you on the phone this morning. You had to sit through a doubleheader yesterday. Was that a rain delay kind of made-up doubleheader from somewhere else, or how did that schedule work out?
Well, this was a doubleheader that was planned at the beginning of the year. So what some teams will do is if they have a hard time drawing on Tuesdays, what they will do is they will double up on a Wednesday. Now, this is something that Windy City doesn't normally do, but they figured they'd experiment with this because they figured at this point in the season, again, sometimes it could be hard to get a lot of folks to come through the turnstiles on a Tuesday, so they figured they'd experiment with a Wednesday, just play a doubleheader and make it a shorter series for us. I mean, this is a lightning-quick trip for us. We ended up getting in sometime late Tuesday night, and then, you know, we'll leave when the game's over today. So it'll be a very quick stay for us here, but that's not necessarily a bad thing because Windy City's not too far away. So ended up turning out pretty well. I mean, they split yesterday. I mean, they've won three of their last five. So things seem to be getting a little bit better for the Crushers.
I see that Connor Oliver is back. Tell us his story.
Well, he's obviously added a lot, and there's no question about that. I think when they lost him, you could start to see some of the wheels begin to fall off because he's a fire starter. At the beginning of the order, he does a lot of great things, and you know he's very aggressive. He's a spark plug, and guys like him are hard to find in the Frontier League. They really are, and I think when you look at what the team looked like when he was here, it was just vastly different from the team that we saw for the 3 to 4 weeks when he was gone. So, you know, he was signed by the Yankees. The last game he played with the Crushers was back on June 12th, and in that game he had two home runs, and that was enough to draw the ire of the Yankees, and they said, okay, yes, we'll give this kid a shot. And unfortunately for Connor, it just didn't work out. I mean, he ended up going to the Florida State League. That's the high level with the Yankees, and, you know, his numbers just weren't all that great. And like I say, unfortunately for him, it just didn't work. And, you know, sometimes you only get a small window of opportunity, and in his case, it was only about 3 to 4 weeks, so things didn't work out. But it did work out for the Crushers because now he's back here again, and he can certainly help them out an absolute ton. And they really need his bat. They also really need him defensively in center field.
How are things with the new manager? It may take time to settle in. Sometimes there's even a little bit of a boost. You know, when they change managers, sometimes teams respond differently. How did it go for the Crushers?
Well, he's changed some personnel, and it's going to take some time for everybody to kind of adjust to that because it's a different managerial style. There's no question about that. I think the starting pitchers have certainly enjoyed it thus far simply because they've got a much longer leash. You know, Mondra, the guy that strengthened his bullpen at the beginning of the year, that was probably the strongest part of the team. And, you know, now I think Cam he's come in here and he's assured these starters he's going to give them a lot of time to figure some things out. We've seen guys go deeper into games than we ever did before, which I think for those guys are certainly refreshing because as a starting pitcher, you want to at least be given an ample amount of opportunities to go out there and make that game yours, and Cam certainly has allowed them to do that. And I think if you look at the rest of the team, the way things have shaken out so far, it's been interesting, guys. I was looking the other day, and I mean, so many changes have taken place, not only since Cam's arrived, but I think throughout the course of the year, there's 23 guys, I think, on the active roster right now, and 14 of those guys were not on the active opening night roster. That's a ton of turnover. And, I mean, I think if you look at a typical Frontier League roster throughout the course of the year, they may experience that. But keep in mind, we're not even at the All-Star break just yet. So I don't know if I've ever seen a team go through that kind of change before the All-Star break. That's a lot of turnover. But I think, you know, again, Cam wants to get some guys in here that he knows, and he wants to get some guys in here that aren't necessarily somebody else's guys, but they're his guys. But that's not to say he doesn't want to keep some of the same key components in place. But I think the change may not totally be over with just yet. And I think, you know, just now we're starting to see the group that he has currently begin to mesh a little bit.
You mentioned All-Star break coming up. What about representatives from the Crushers?
They have four. And, you know, with a pitching staff as good as this one, you'd expect at least a few arms to get there. And they have their closer, Chandler Jagodinski, who made it. Mike Devine, who pitched very well last night, he made it as well, as well as Steve Hagen. Steve Hagen's going to pitch tonight for the Crushers in the rubber match against Windy City. And Steve's got the best ERA in the league at 1.32. So that's almost untouchable as far as the rest of the Eastern Division is concerned. And, I mean, I'd be shocked if this wasn't his last start before the All-Star game. If he pitches well again tonight, I can't see any scenario where he's not the starting pitcher from the Frontier League Eastern Division next Wednesday. And what they are dubbing the All-Star game down in Florence, and also Jose Barraza made it as a catcher too. So despite the record, Lake Erie will be very well represented at the All-Star game.
Okay, well, before that, you say there's the one more with the Windy City, and then three at home at All-Pro Freight before the All-Star break. We'll talk again next Thursday, as we do every Thursday, talking with Andy Bulbarch, play-by-play of the Lake Erie Crushers. Thanks for your time, Andy. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Have a good weekend.